Anyway, I want to welcome everybody here this morning. God bless you. It's an awesome thing for us to gather collectively before the throne of God. You know, we've come to present ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And, you know, to ask him to help us with our bruises, with our wounds, and hallelujah, and to give him honor and praise. And I want to start off this morning with a pretty popular verse. We're probably going to hear it several times before the month is out, and that is Luke 2:14, that tells us that glory to God, hallelujah, in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Hallelujah. This is our portion. This is what's in God's heart towards you this morning. This is why Jesus came, to give us peace and to have goodwill towards men. Hallelujah. And so how are you doing? How's everybody doing? And if June was here, she'd say, I'm ill doing. Praise God, because of her age. Hallelujah. And, you know, I ask how everybody's doing because it's a season where giants are spotted the most. Did you know that? Amen. They're spotted in the neighborhood. They're spotted. You can hear about them on the news. You can hear about them in your own backyard. There's giants everywhere. And I say it's a season for giants because giants come along to cause us fear. And fear robs us of our hope and discourages us. And they show up this time of year to distract us from the true reason for the season. Amen. And so giants come along, and it may be something to do with whatever. I lost my job, and my kids all ran away, and, you know, woe is me. You ever hear that song? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I think Job must have wrote it. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, hallelujah, there's good news. Jesus has come to invade the ruins of God's creation. And really, that's the good news of the season. And there's giants may appear to kind of rob us of this season, but Jesus came and he invaded this ruin, the ruins, really, of God's creation. Hallelujah. And it tells us in Isaiah 59:16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. And when God saw there was no one to stand in the gap, he came himself, basically, is what Isaiah is saying. And but we can find in Ezekiel 22:30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, and now this is talking to us, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Amen. And so here's God talking about Jesus the Christ, who came to stand in the gap. He stood between God's wrath and us to absorb the wrath of God, and so that it wouldn't touch us. Amen. I thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. The reality of that is pretty amazing, that Jesus came to absorb the wrath of God. Amen. But then but the Lord is talking to us normal people. Why couldn't I find anyone to stand in the gap and make a wall to so that I wouldn't destroy the land? And so here in the New Covenant, we have Jesus who stood in the gap on our behalf, but he gives us a special blessing as well. He gives us something special that comes from his hand, and that's an ability, a strange, influential ability and power to build in one another. Or we can use our words to tear one another down. Amen. And so we have a privilege to work in one another, to lift each other up. Amen. Did I tell you how nice you look today? Amen. Praise God. Faces all aglow, shining for Jesus. I love you guys. And but anyway, and so God gives us words, and words are containers, and they give off after their own kind, and we can bring others down or we can lift others up. Hallelujah. And kind of a strange power, but it goes on from there. God says we have a power to be able to stand between heaven and earth on behalf of those we love, on behalf of circumstances, on behalf of everything that God has for us. He gives us this wonderful power to be able to stand in the gap. You know, I was going home from Bible study, and I went this way because the traffic was too much that way. I was driving by Wendell's house. I seen him out in the driveway puttering around, so I pulled in, said hi to him. And then, you know, if you go to talk to Wendell, you only listen. He does all the talking. And I remember the last line he said to me as I was getting in my car. You know what he said? He said, "Pastor, we're all watchmen." And I said, "Amen, brother. We're all watchmen. Amen. We're all standing on guard. We're all looking out. Amen. And for one another." And God has given us the ability, even when we see a friend staggering or in trouble, we can lift them up before the very throne of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful privilege this is. And so Jesus interceded on our behalf. He stood in the gap between heaven and earth. He stood and he absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf. But God has given us something that few enter into. And I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to go to an example in Exodus 32 and verse 1. "Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us a God that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know, do not know what has become of him. We don't know where he's gone. Make us a god of gold, a golden calf.'" And how many people are worshiping golden calves in our generation? Amen. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the Lord shut the whole planet down. And it took like 2 months, and everything was going so fast, and then everything came to a screeching halt. There was no theaters to go to. There was no sports events. There was no church. There wasn't anything. God shut everything down. And you got to admit, if I told you before that happened, you'd say, "Come on, God's going to shut everything down." Yeah, he shut everything down. He shut it all down. Amen. All the movie stars we like to worship, no more theater. All the athletes we like to worship, no more hockey games. Amen. No more tickets being sold. And the Lord just shut everything down. Everything was moving so fast. Boom. God said, "Not anymore." Did he get your attention? He got mine. Amen. And suddenly we were online instead of live. Hallelujah. Durhamville Gospel Church live. You know, you got to be here live because the presence of God is so awesome. And he's our star performer. So we see that the whole world is worshiping golden calves of some kind. Amen. And how the Lord shut the whole world down in, what did it take him, 2 or 3 months? Yeah, people worship their money. He shut down the economy. He shuts down the stock market. People were losing money, and they were shaking in their boots. Good people, too. Good God-fearing people. But the Lord should have got our attention. And anyway, that's for us. But we're talking about Moses here, and they were worshiping the golden calf. And that's 32:1. Amen. They were worshiping the golden calf. And I don't want to get mixed up in my scriptures here. Verse 30 and 31 I want to go to. Praise God. "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people, they've committed a great sin, and I've made for themselves a golden calf, a god of gold.'" Amen. They worship the god of gold. praise God. I want verse 30 and 31. You got that? If you don't, I do. Especially verse 30, we got to go to. Amen. And because it says this, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Amen. And then Moses returned to the Lord, and then he told the Lord about their sin. So, but isn't it interesting? Moses said, I'm going to go see the Lord and see if I can atone for your sin. Amen. Guess what? He couldn't. There's only one who can atone for our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And but here was Moses. He was ready to stand in the gap on behalf of God's people. Amen. And that's what he was doing here. I'm going to see if I can make an atonement for your sin. Amen. An intercessor. And so he was interceding between God and Israel. And it was a beautiful picture, really, of or shadow of something that was going to take place in the New Testament, where Jesus would come and he would atone for our sins. Hallelujah. And you don't have to feel guilty today. And do you have trouble with guilty feelings? A lot of people do. And, you know, even I watched the pastor last week, and he's standing back here, and he's telling us what's going through his head, but his lips aren't moving. You're going to fail today. You're a loser. What are you doing here preaching to these people? What are you telling them about Jesus for? You're no good for nothing. And that's the things going through his head before he gets to preach the Word of God. And he was bringing out the attack that's on the mind of people. Being attacked in their mind. Anyway, I don't know where that came from.